Chase can really go to town.
Well, gentlemen.
Nothing new in the universe, or
everything new in the universe?
It's a bit, probably, it's improving and increasing, but it's probably been one of the most unbelievable weeks I ever had, up to this point.
Jesus. Been hearing that a lot lately. I'm feeling like I'm getting left behind.
Corky gets his ears filled with all this, but it's been quite a week. Now, I got some things that worth discussion. I was sitting there tonight, and I got something came over me, and I thought of a scripture that's in the third chapter of Malachi, and I don't want to call it the heebie-jeebies because I don't sound right. But I got something, you know, just my whole system, but I want to read it here. It says, where am I at here? Oh, I'm in the wrong place here. In verse 16, chapter Malachi 3:16, and it says, and they that feared the Lord spoke often one to another. And the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. And that is what hit me. Ooh. In that day when I make up my jewels. And I thought, you know what? People don't have a half of it, or any, hardly any understanding of who it is that made up and what his plan is. He's the one that decides what goes on. You know what I mean? And I was thinking, you know what we have, especially in the Godhead theories in the churches? We have men who are trying to tell God who he is. I know a lot of them. Some of them aren't alive anymore, but I mean, you know, God, this is who you are. This is what you're like. You know, there's three of you. Did you know that?
Yeah. I had everything underlined but that. Those two sentences.
And it says, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son that serves him. Then shall ye return. I mean, he's going to return.
Yeah.
And discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serves God and him that serves him not.
I love that about that making up his jewels.
Oh,
I love that.
Yeah, oh, that hit me today. Brought me to tears.
I like how it starts. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another.
Feared the Lord and what?
But not just spoke. I mean, it doesn't. It doesn't really explain it good, but they're talking about him is what it's about. You know what I mean? They're not just talking to one another.
No, and the Lord listened and heard them. Yeah, so a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and meditate on his name.
Glory!
They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts.
Okay. Yeah. Any discussion or can I change the subject?
Well, you pretty well worked out.
Pretty well
over.
Says it.
Huh?
Pretty well says, glory to God.
The next one. Jesus says, all things that the Father has are mine. Isn't that kind of a pretty strong, big statement? I got it. I understood what he's saying. You know what it says in, this is in probably the 16th chapter of John, but in the first chapter of Hebrews, but like the second verse, it says that that God has made him to be an heir to his saints. He's an heir.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, God has left all things in charge of him. He's in charge of all things, and he is an heir. Guess what?
Yeah.
So, as if that's not enough, guess who we are?
Yeah.
Joint heirs.
We are heirs and joint heirs. with Christ as us. And so God has something planned in the next dimension where he's going to, you know, eye hasn't seen, ear hasn't heard, but God has things planned for those that love him.
Man just so ridiculously discounts those scriptures. You know?
Yeah. But we're starting to believe them.
Yeah.
And when you actually can believe, then he, you know, believers shall lay hands on the sick. Believers shall this. Believers, you know, he that believeth. And but the only thing that can make you believe is the Word of God. And I have come to the conclusion that what God has given to us, to the hearing of the Word and the meditating and the, you know, the, what we have been doing, is possibly the only way to accomplish His will. Hmm. You can't sit in the corner and meditate, because that's what lots of people do. They come up with 11 different kind of religions. Hmm. You have to have the Word of God as a foundation. It has to be. Do you follow what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Amen.
When I heard a voice, it didn't say, go meditate in the corner. Mm. It was pointing towards, if you want to find me, you got to look for me where I am. And what I realized, you know, soon after that, is that I have looked everywhere where he isn't.
Pretty much so is everybody else.
Huh?
Pretty much so is everybody else.
Yeah.
Nobody was looking to God. They were looking to other men.
Well, yeah, but what I meant, they're not looking at the source. You know what I mean?
Right.
I looked at Community Chapel. I looked towards intelligence, towards the wise and the prudent. I look to those that God hides truth from. And you know what? It was a shock to my system when I discovered that that's not how you get it. That except you become converted and become as little children. That does not make sense to my anything that's in my, any of my intelligence. That's backwards. Except that God is so beyond our understanding. His ways are past finding. He's so beyond our understanding that he does that for, and there's, I think there's a number of reasons. One of them is so that he gets the glory out of it. How can a created being that lives, you know, 60 or 70 years assume that he has gained enough understanding to compete with God? Mm. And it made him, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I had something happen, and I shared a little bit with Courtney Sunday. I was set up before Sunday morning for Susan's, what she had to say. I was already set up, so when she got up, started to talk, it was grabbing a hold of me, and I realized I am hearing a prophetic utterance. I'm hearing God saying, you really don't understand anywhere near the amount of love that I have for you. You don't understand it. You don't understand my love capacity. Now, I don't know exactly what she said or how she said it, but
that was pretty close. I think that nailed it.
You know, and I had already been thinking that, so I was a captivated, fell in the front row, and I just sat there. I was shaking. I thought, see, this is what we need. We need God to start speaking to us through us, and until we get he starts filling in these vacant spots. And that's one of them. What kind of love is it that God has? If you be an evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit? You know what? How much more love does he have than we can equate with? But I was under the idea that I needed to do was to put out a lot of these wonder Bibles, but I don't think that's the answer. I think we have to do it and help people or somehow get people listening to the scriptures. But the wonder Bibles they wear out. And I've got too many of them now. Carol's is the battery wore out. It's only been a few weeks.
Oh, really? And it won't recharge?
It quit charging. And James has gone through a couple of them. And I'm thinking that the best thing we can do really is stick back with But I believe that the answer to what God is going to do in this last hour is to have us so consumed with his word and so full of his word and so on that with that word in us to such a degree that he can accomplish what he wanted. You know, in Hebrews 4:12 it says the word in the King James, and you know what, I've come to the conclusion that the King James it may not be totally the best translation, but you know what? I think it's very close to the best, and for some major reasons. But anyway, it says the word of God is quick, and so in my concordance, I looked it up, and what it says, it's life giving. The word of God is life giving. In other words, it's like you put a seed in the ground, and it starts to, it hits the soil and the water and the sunshine, whatever else, it starts to become something. And it takes the Word of God in us for us to be born of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. It takes the Word. The Word is what creates life in us. So Jesus said, the words that I speak, they're spirit and they're truth. And what do? They create life. And so, when people change the word, it's no wonder the devil tries to change the word. Because what it does, it'll take away our eternal life, if he can do that. And I think that there's a lot of people that are in churches that are being fed a lot of malarkey. And because they're not getting the things that God is beginning to give us. Anyways.
So what's the answer to the wonder book?
I think it's an excellent thing. I'm just saying, I don't know that it has the capacity or the potential for what we need. So I don't think it lasts. It doesn't hold up.
Making CDs and CD players.
Right. So it's CDs and tape players.
It's still the best.
Yeah. I think we should try to, maybe I should, find a source that is reasonable, that we could get whatever supply of it we would want it, at different times.
Supplies of what?
Well, of, like, what's the one that runs continuously through, not a CD, but...
Oh, an MP3?
MP3 player.
Where you get the whole, like... New
yeah,
Testament
like if you want
this.
The New Testament or the whole Bible if you want,
yeah.
But yeah.
Except I don't think that including the whole Bible for us is the answer.
Well, New Testament.
The New Testament, yeah.
Well, can look around too. I mean, see what.
Yeah,
see
I
what
mean, you know what? And now that I'm sitting here, that's kind of bothering me. Because I've looked at some, and some of them, they're good, but they're like, some of them, the good ones, are close to $60 or $40.
Mm-hmm. And you paid $40 for the Bible.
The Wonder Bible
store? Wonder Bible is $39.99.
Yeah. Oh, it is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So see, I had bought some at one time, but then they were a whole booklet of CDs, so then you had to keep putting different ones in, which is what I have in my house.
You know,
my car one runs continuous, you know. But.
I have bought two different MP3s, and they just didn't work somehow or other.
They don't work as good as the others.
No.
No, mine
didn't work. Didn't work. We had one. We got, I don't know, 15 years ago. That thing worked for 10 years.
Yeah.
And MP3.
Well, what do you use MP3, now?
Yeah. What do I do now? I play over and over and over the same
disc.
Yeah.
It might be
right.
A book and a half of the New
right.
Testament.
Yeah. I've been hearing Philippians and Colossians and
yes, you know. That must be something like what
right.
I have in my house.
Like which is okay, I guess, and then you just change it out, you know.
Yeah.
But I like the Wonder Bible better. It's a little discouraging that you think the thing's going to be dying here in a bit.
Yeah.
The one we got at home, it's got to be 30 years old, because Barb had it when she was working. And it plays four discs, and you can loop it, so it'll go through all four, and then it starts over again.
Oh, that's pretty nice.
Yeah. And that thing's been going, I don't know how long it's going to go.
Yeah, but how much were the discs originally?
Well, we bought the whole Bible
just
thing.
Just
the
regular CD.
But what I'm saying is they're expensive.
Well, you can't find that kind anymore. They play just one, you know, one disc at a time.
The machines are,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the machine.
Yeah, I'm talking about the machine, yeah.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
It's got, it plays a
yeah,
CD,
that's
and it plays
though.
A radio,
well,
or whatever you
want.
But it's old, and I don't.
Yeah, I used to
play what brand it is anymore.
I played like four discs.
But it just keeps going.
Yeah.
It leaps yeah. Loops, so it goes to the end and starts all over again.
Yeah.
But it's on, I think there's four discs to it you can put in.
Yeah, that's kind of nice.
No,
you change out the disc, but I just having that MP3 deal just worked really nice until it.
You could just have one disc.
Yeah,
play
it's really good.
There's no way that I can know this, but I think that God is doing a different thing right now than he's ever done. A new thing. And I'm watching a number of people that are grabbing a hold of the scriptures, and it's brand new to them, and they're loving it. They're loving it. And that's encouraging.
Amen.
Because it takes, you start listening to something like the scriptures especially, and it gets to be old hat after a while. If you're not, if you don't really have a reason.
Yeah. Oh, no, right.
Well, it takes
a commingling of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, why do I keep listening to this? I mean, I've heard this over and over and over. I mean, why do I keep listening?
You're not asking yourself
no.
that. Okay.
No, the natural man, though,
that's
comes to that
yeah,
pretty
why?
Soon. Yeah.
Just needs to listen a little bit more.
Well,
because he's gonna go, I didn't hear that.
You
just
know,
the second time through that CD, I didn't hear that.
When I first started listening, after a while, I was thinking, you know what? I know all this. Then I realized I don't know anything. You think you do? How many things have we picked up that we're sure we already knew? You know, and this happens to me constantly. I wake up in the morning with something, or this scripture out of Malachi. It just it brought me to tears this evening. I just
just
affected by it.
I found that since listening a lot and learning more of God, I went back and just picked a prophet or something, started reading. you find things like that all over the place.
Yeah.
That just touch your heart about him, you know?
Yeah.
Because whenever he's scolding or, you know, whatever, he always follows with, but if you, this is what I will do.
Mm-hmm.
This is who I want you to be, and this is the one I love. You know, it's all over. You can't hardly not find it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Now, before, I don't think I ever would have saw that, you know.
There's a lot of carrot and stick in that. In the Old Testament.
Yeah, there's things that just, because they relate to God speaking, you know, I mean, and he's, and a lot of it, is, I believe, is prophetic for the people. He wanted it then, he wants it 100 years ago, 1,000 years ago, 10 years ago, he wants it now. You know, those same attributes. He wants it.
God hasn't changed.
Yeah. He wants the same thing in people that he's always wanted.
Man's done whatever he's done and
yeah.
Growing full of himself, but God has not changed. I mean, back in early days, the sun was a god and the moon was a god, but he was the God. You know, as we got smarter and smarter and smarter and said we think we know all these things, God has not changed. I was kind of listening to some of your comments earlier, Keith, and it's like the more we know, the more we think that we know, the farther we slip away from him.
Mm-hmm.
And the more we put confidence in it. And that's what I meant by my earlier comment. People listen to men to find mm-hmm. God instead of going to God to find the Spirit.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I wanted to make one of the comments that we shared, but we for the group. You were talking about Susan's prophecy or testimony, and I shared with Keith that Susan sat there. God spoke to her immediately as you were praying. It just came right into her. But she said there was this mental ping-pong game that went back, should I, and trying to discern if she was really listening to God, and, you know, and then Keith put it on, I said, but that is actually a fulfillment of 1 Corinthians 14, where one has something and you remain silent. And she kind of sat on that until God shared to her, now is the time. So
let me quote the other scripture right close to the one you're talking about. And here's what it says, and I'm starting to finally understand it. The spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet.
Right.
We can decide to do it or decide not to do it. You know,
do you think that's saying the same prophet or just prophet in general?
If I'm a prophet, my spirit, you know, the what comes to us, it comes in the spirit from God who is spirit. We get a spirit to spirit, and but we don't have to respond.
Yeah, that's true. We don't.
It's, yeah, 32. And the spirits, plural, of the prophets, plural, are subject to the prophets.
Oh, it's saying prophets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I took it when I went through, and that's why I went back to
it. I quoted it wrong, because I thought it said prophets.
Well, I think you're right in the King James.
Yeah.
Well, they clarified it.
Really, this is King James.
That's not New King James?
No. Oh. No, this is King James.
Oh.
not to get too hung up on translations, but because I wasn't sure when we were talking, you know, if people were talking about, you know, the prophet referring to God.
I might say it twice.
As a prophet. Yeah, maybe I only saw, I didn't hear of.
Wait, where is it?
32, 1 Corinthians 14, 32 is what I just quoted.
Yeah, and the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets.
Which is another thing that we need to consider. It means then that the prophet needs to concentrate and get full of God's word. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because that will help him discern whether what he just got is from God or the devil.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're supposed to have an active spiritual discernment. And
it's forcing me to go to my phone here.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to interrupt you, Keith.
No, that's fine. I thought mine's just singular, but
I kind of read back away.
Oh, yeah, okay. Plural. I quoted it wrong. It is a plural.
Well, I don't know. Well, my only caveat was, and I just want to make sure in that context it wasn't talking about, the Holy Spirit, but what I got out of it was talking about prophets prophesying in front of other prophets, and we are trying to make sure that what's being shared is in fact of God.
Mm-hmm.
Which,
but without an ongoing relationship with the Word of God, a prophet is handicapped.
Well, is he actually going to be a real prophet if he's not? I mean, I suppose God can speak through whoever he wants, but,
Yeah.
But a lot of times that's a one-time thing, maybe.
And the thing that's strange is that if anything be revealed to another that's at fault, let the verse hold his peace, which tells us something. How is it, brother, when you come together? It's a body ministry. It's not just a neck. You know what I mean?
Right.
Well, the NIV says it's slightly different. The spirits, plural, of the prophets, plural, are subject to the control of the prophets.
Yeah, well, that's what.
That's NIV.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about. That's what I was interpreting from the what we're seeing in the King James. In other words, you don't have to prophesy. It's subject to the prophet. It's also subject to the prophet's understand. You know, through faith we understand. It's also subject to what to his revelation, his understanding. Otherwise, something could come to him that's not so, and he'll prophesy that's wrong.
Well,
but that's what it's saying. It's subject to the other prophets.
Oh, it's to them too. Yeah,
to see that maybe that wasn't.
Yeah, I mean, I always felt we did that. I mean, I know that my brothers are here to help me when I kind of go a little off the rail and go, what?
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you really mean to say that? Maybe not. I thought I was on track.
Yeah, it's good.
Amen.
And you know, there's another scripture in the Old Testament. No, I don't know if it's in the Old Testament. It says, they that love the law. Oh, great peace have they that love God the law, and nothing shall offend them. Well, you know what? Okay, so here we are. And we're getting revelations, and we think we're getting revelations. We're not positive on everything because it takes discernment. But you know what? If we're really loving God's word, then we're not offended if somebody says, I don't agree. That's off, you're off whack here. You know what I mean? You're off track.
Psalms 119, 165.
Yeah.
Great peace have they who love your law, and nothing shall offend them.
Yeah.
I mean, which is true. I mean, even when I'm being corrected,
yeah,
I'm actually grateful that I'm not stumbling someone inadvertently.
Yeah. And I tell you what, about me, I want the truth. I want the truth more than I want my pride.
And that's really what God wants us,
yeah,
right?
So I want the truth. What is the truth?
And you know, if you really grab onto the, and Ken got that revelation first, but you really grab onto the fact that your intellect has nothing to do about you know, making it.
Yeah.
Well, the next thing behind that is, you know, you want the truth, and being right or wrong doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you were wrong, but then the truth is brought, or you were right sharing the truth.
Yeah.
What matters is that you get the truth.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it ain't coming from us anyway.
Exactly.
You know,
and once you
know,
you go, well, where did that truth come from?
So careful of that.
Yeah.
You know,
well, whenever you start thinking, hey, this is going, boy, I feel like it's really going, you go, well, if you're right into it, you go, thank you, Lord, because it wasn't me.
Right.
We have been listening long enough that I'm feeling more comfortable knowing that we're having a discerning ability or quality to help each other. You know what I mean? I want to help you. I want you to help me. It's not the great man or the great men or the great. It isn't. It's little kids, little guys.
Well,
I never did grow up out of that stage anyway.
As I was sharing with you the other night, Jesus made a point at the very end of his ministry when he had taught the apostles everything right up to just before the crucifixion, and he starts washing their feet.
Yeah.
You know. In any natural measure, they were learned at that time.
Yeah.
And they knew how much more he was. And even Peter, you know, his typical Peter, like, Lord, you can't wash my feet.
No.
And Jesus said, well, then you won't just see me in heaven. Well, in typical Peter fashion, well, then, Lord, my whole body, don't leave anything to do.
Wash my head then.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, you know. But I think that setting is there as a great reminder and insight to you. You're not going to get there through position. You
yeah.
know, you get there through His grace and mercy and seeking His truth. And as I, you know, as I kind of contemplate or dwell on the scriptures, that's the theme that keeps coming back to me. It's like, no matter how you, if you're truly into the Word, you're not going to get hung up on yourself. Because the Scriptures won't support that. It'll just knock it right out of there.
Mm-hmm.
My humble 2 cents.
Good 2 cents. Good 2 cents is everywhere.
I will take, you know, just to help you with that correction thing, when you were saying how people aren't prophesying, I'm going to say I think pretty much every service there's a lot of prophesying going on.
Yeah.
It's just not like we used to, we don't have one person prophesy to the congregation at the same time and stop everything, you know, like, hear me now.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that people were doing that with their heart. Now it's just...
Well,
a little here and a little there, and
but what it is,
the testimony.
What it is, Courtney, it's something that we've never had. It is becoming more and more Bible truth based. The truth is coming.
I mean, truth be told, for me, I didn't feel anywhere ready, or that I would have, unless it was an unusual circumstance where God was speaking to me. I just didn't feel that I had anything worth sharing. I mean...
We don't.
I look around... Well, yeah. Touche. Let me rephrase. My point was, even back, I mean, you know, the only thing I felt comfortable saying was, boy, God's got to do a lot of work in me because I got questions.
Yeah.
And he's been answering them.
Well, yeah, you know what? I've been hearing you coming with lots of answers.
You know, more so.
You know,
more
I mean,
so, yeah.
And I know what you mean.
You guys are, all of it are changing so much. You know, and I can see it. It's like the kingdom of God coming to the observation. But I'm wondering if that's not meaning from the world looking at it.
Well,
you know, I have such an unbelievable change taking place in me that I'm sure I'm observing it. I'm aware of it.
Well, I've always thought that without observation, it was kind of like on June 15th at 12:04.
Yeah.
You know, and I laugh at that because that's man trying to put a time stamp on God again, and it's like, nah, it ain't gonna happen.
But I had a chance to, and I don't matter if she hears this, but I had a chance to talk to Angel yesterday, and it was one of the most unbelievable experiences. She was just broken. She was just broken. You know, God is doing such a work in her. And so, through this whole thing, with her being here, it gives us to be an opportunity to talk to her. And I can't not. You know what I mean? I can't not.
You're saying that would be going against your nature?
and that's another thing. Who was Jesus? He was the expressed image of the invisible God's divine nature. Mm-hmm. What does 1 Peter or 2 Peter 1:4 tell us by this, these words, these exceedingly great and precious promises, we become, that's what it says, we become partakers of God's divine nature. What is going to happen to you if you'll keep it up? You know, endure to the end. Keep listening and keep letting the Word of God build God in us. What's going to happen? I have a couple of times experienced something where I thought it's going to be to the end. I don't mean the rapture, but I mean the power of God is going to come down. When deliverance started, I didn't expect anything. The next thing I knew, the power was here.
After Sunday, I'm really expecting God to start being among us.
Oh, amen.
You know, it just, His Spirit, you know, in a way that it hasn't been.
Well, I don't know anybody else's impression, but when I looked at Susan, I thought, she is yielding to the Spirit of God and talking. The Spirit of God is talking. I am hearing what has been already started to be confirmed in me days ago. And here I hear it. It's like, what are you supposed to do to me? You know, I'm beside myself. And also something else. And I have been walking twice as good as I have been for the last week. I stood in the middle of the floor and talked to Angel and Nikki, her little friend Nikki, for a half hour yesterday and never moved. I stood right in the middle of the floor and just stood there. Because my balance in my head was okay.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't stay that way, but it's getting better all the time. So something happened.
Just a food for thought while we're here. Susan made the comment to me, and I think maybe it's even talked about at service Sunday, but what about opening up service with a prayer? I mean, I don't want to get into a routine or a ritual, but I don't know that there's anything wrong with opening up with a prayer, asking God to come visit us.
Sure.
I mean,
it's fine with me.
I just
It doesn't have to be any the same person either.
No. I mean, well, especially if someone has it on their heart.
Right.
I mean, if someone has it on their heart and God's, yeah, that's one thing. I mean, but, and that's not a criticism of the way we have done it.
No.
It's certainly, maybe it adds just a touch of seriousness to why we've gathered, because really that's why we've gathered. We've gathered so God will visit us.
Well, I think it probably brings us a little closer together when we pray, because when we're standing up front, we're all in a circle hanging on, we're praying, and we're all together. You know, well, that's what I, when I said when I was up there, I thought what you did was great. It would be a bad idea to do it more often.
Yeah.
You know, to do that.
I play with that a little too. Yeah. You know, like Susan. I thought maybe that's just, I'm feeling something and I went, no, I think I have to do this.
Yeah. So the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet.
Yeah.
Well, and that's what we'd want. I mean, you know,
yeah.
And I think you are very diligent about, I mean, a lot of your testimonies go like, I don't want this to be me. Which is good.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
No, yeah.
You know what I mean? You don't want it to be you.
No, don't none of us do.
Don't go off on something that's wrong, you know? So.
There's a joke in there about you, but I'll just leave it alone.
About what?
There's a joke in there about you, about not wanting it to be about you and your word pictures, but I'll just leave it alone.
No. Mm-hmm.
It was meant in love.
Mm.
But, yeah. No, I forgot that you had also mentioned it, Glenn.
Yeah, I was trying to remember who's good. I knew somebody had mentioned it.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and I think really got to be open, start being open to maybe the songs get played 10 minutes longer, or maybe somebody feels a need for this, you know, that we don't have to automatically just do every service like we've been doing it. We want to be open to the flow of the Spirit, you know.
And that's the thing, though. When you got up there and said your prayer, you didn't just go up there to say a prayer. You were following the flow of the Spirit to do this.
Yes.
And that's what made it more effective, should I say, you know, than just somebody go up there, say a prayer, and we'll have the service, you know.
Yeah.
It was, you know.
Yeah, I think maybe we just leave it open, and
right,
if it's on somebody's heart to pray, and, you know, maybe it'll be me again, maybe it won't, maybe it'll be something, you know. But just have it be open to that. And I think it's good. I felt compelled to have it, the tape on, because that's the beginning of the service.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that gives a good reference to people if they happen to be, like you said, you know, it gives it a seriousness of, we're going to have a service here. We're expecting God to be amongst us.
We're inviting God.
Yeah, right.
We're expecting, we're inviting, and that's our heart.
Yeah, we're desiring, you know,
desiring,
because it's His desire to be there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
When you guys are talking about, I looked this up, you know, kind of long past that, but in Hebrews 2:1, therefore we must give more earnest heed to the things we hear, lest we drift away. When you're talking about listening to the tape and all that.
Yeah.
It took me a while to find it, but
that's a good one.
You know. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast in every transgression and disobedience, received a just reward. I don't know, you know.
Yeah. But yeah, that's a good,
you know,
confirmation to listen.
Yeah, there's no getting around that part of the scriptures. It's everywhere.
Mm. Jesus said, he that sees me sees the Father.
okay, in John 14. And so then he goes on in the next verse, he says, the things that I do, I can't do these of myself. And someplace in there he says, I can do it. The Son of himself can do nothing. And so, anyway, so then the question is, what is the reason for signs and wonders and miracles? And what is the reason for it? I got an answer. The signs and the wonders are for people to see God without seeing God. So you don't need to see him. The signs and the wonders are God's the evidence of God.
Evidence of the things not seen.
Huh?
Evidence of the things not seen.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking about that. So we think, well, we don't really have to have signs and wonders and whatever else. But you know what? In 2 Timothy 3, where it says in the last days, Paul is telling Timothy the perilous times are going to come. And then for five verses, it's talking about the church, although it doesn't. It looks like it's just mankind, but it's we see in verse 5, it says, where they're having a form of godliness, but deny God's power, or deny the power. From such turn away. Well, you know what? If they're denying God's power, this is it's telling us that God wants his power expressed. Are you following me?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
He wants his power expressed. And Jesus was saying, he says, the thing that you see me do, I can't do it by myself. It's the Father that dwells, that's in me, that does the work. And I often wondered, why was the word work used? Why is that saying the words? No, he says, it's the Father that does the work. The miracles and the signs and the wonders. I can't do it. But I know who can. I have this relationship with him, and he does it. So that I'm saying that these signs and wonders that the devil wants people to deny are the thing that men need as the evidence of God's existence.
Yeah. I'm sure I won't get this exactly right, but didn't Jesus say that these signs are here so that you might believe?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
I think it was always meant, or my interpretation was the signs that the miracles that Jesus performed was to provide faith.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what we always said, right? Yeah. We always like a miracle or two to bolster our faith. I mean, in the old days.
So it's the Word of God is quick and it's powerful and it's convincing. And one of the things I was just thinking of is the incident in the fourth chapter of John where Jesus is in Samaria and he's talking to this Samaritan woman and there are no miracles but he's talking to her and she believes him. And then, well, there is a miracle.
Yeah, I was going to say there was a miracle because he read her mind.
Well, yeah. He said, yeah, call your husband. And she said, I don't have a husband. He said, well, you said that right. He said,
and immediately she knew he was a prophet because of that.
Yeah, you must be a
prophet. I perceive that thou art a prophet.
Yeah.
And so she goes down to Samaria and she tells. Well, I suppose that would be still part of the sign evidence. She tells him, he told her, she said, he told me everything about me.
Yeah.
And so, on the light side, who knows what the rest of them knew about her, you know, who knows?
Yeah.
But anyway, so then he goes and he spent 2 days down in Samaria. And then they make this statement, and Brian, Dale and Brian are coming to fix dinner for us one day here in December. Dale and his Brian.
Oh.
And Brian's a good cook. And so anyway, when him and Ashley got married, I left And they wanted a Bible verse for a big blanket that they sewed. And I had a Bible verse. And I'm going to talk to him about it when he comes. And it's in the fourth chapter of John. And anyway, the Samaritan men told her, they said, when you talked to us, we believed. But now we really believe. Because we heard him ourselves.
Yeah.
And you know what? Faith comes by hearing. And that's the word of God. You will believe if you will hear it. And this is the angel. And Ben, it didn't seem like a real likely candidate. He's moving really fast. Picking it up. He's really hungry, really interested.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He had a lot of obstacles. You know, his mother died, his dad died, a lot of problems in the family. He is up on the bridge, up on the railroad bridge, up on, he wasn't on the bridge, but his cousin was on the bridge that crosses the lake, up on X, by Gordy's and past Gordy's, that railroad bridge. And his cousin was out on a thing fishing, or doing something, walking anyway, and not paying attention, I framed him and killed him. And that's a number of years ago. And so, in his mind, it's God's will. You know what I mean? But he saw that. His dad passed away, his mother, I don't know what happened to her, but anyway, he's responding. He's listening to the word and he's starting to accept it. He's starting to see it. So I'm, you can only move as fast as God moves them, but I'm excited. I think we're about to see some real major things happen. Mm-hmm. And Carol's no exception. She's, her little Wonder Bible won't place her. She wants to go run quick and get a battery. She's, I'm starting to miss it. Mm-hmm. I thought, that's a good sign.
I don't know if those batteries are intended to be replaced. They're intended to be recharged. Might have to get a whole new unit.
I don't know. Have you seen that? The Wonder Bible?
I have one.
Oh, you have one. Well, she took it apart.
Maybe there's a problem.
And she said, yeah, the battery comes right out. I don't have a clue because I've never checked to get one apart.
Do you plug it into the wall and recharge it?
Telephone recharger.
Yeah. But it's possible they offer a new rechargeable battery.
Well, I guess it is possible.
I mean, I haven't.
Yeah, you can get one for a telephone. So.
Yeah, right.
Well, she called up some place that had batteries, and they said, yeah, we have those.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, batteries plus, probably.
Yeah, they've got a lot of batteries. Yeah.
So does this device have to sit in a cradle for when you're charging it? When you say it's a telephone recharger.
Oh, it plugs into the thing, and then you got that one that plugs into the outlet, and it just plugs into that little whatever's on the end, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like what
can
we do with...
Can you play it while it's charging?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. In fact, that's generally...
the way you'd have it
run. Do it, yep.
You can play it while it's charging.
Yeah. So just plug it in the wall. And
do you play yours while it's charging? Do you?
Yeah.
I didn't know you could. I didn't.
Oh, yeah. No, it's just that way you don't worry about it running out.
Well, wonderful. I didn't know that. So how long have you had yours going?
Oh, 3 or 4 months.
Huh.
We were just doing, the same disc over and over and over again,
Yeah.
Let's see. We got a Wonder Bible, and it was making it. There was something wrong with it. It wasn't good.
Yeah.
I gave it to my niece, Kelly. So she, it does a squawk now and then, but I guess it's better than Got a new one, and that one does that one works fine. Got it over at Walmart. on aisle 7 or whatever.
Pablo just got
yeah, it might be Pablo.
Yeah. Actually, then I've got one of the children's.
Around. Huh?
I've got one of the children's Wonder Bibles first. I'll be giving to my grandson, Hadrian, here for Christmas. I haven't, you know, I'm waiting for to give it to him for Christmas. But
have you listened to it to see what it's like?
No.
No?
But, online, they were little advertisements for it.
I tell you, some guys are so greedy.
Shall we see?
Hate it, don't you?
Huh?
You hate it when you have to work that late.
I know. Finally stopped, you guys.
Yeah, well,
yeah, we've been pausing every now and then.
Don't say everything that's good to say.
I was going to say we haven't started. We've been waiting for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know your father-in-law better than that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no way he was buttoning up on this for an hour.
Well, today I was doing this, opening up here, reading a little there, going, you know, jumping around, just reading in a page, you know. And the last one I read was in Revelation 22, verse 1, and it said, "He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the middle of the street, and on either side of the river, was a tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations." Now, I've read that before, but I never, that the tree that bore 12 fruits with one every month, you know, it kind of stuck out there a little bit for me. But then the thing I look at it and it says, in the middle of the street and on either side of the river. So was there one tree or two trees to be on either side of the river?
But,
but anyway.
Is there going to be 12 months?
Well, it says, in the middle of the street and on either side of the river was a tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit each month. So you had one tree was probably grafted, like what we would call grafting today, you know, but it had 12, it produced 12 different fruits, one for each month. So one month you might have apples, peaches, pears. Well, that's, you know, my mind.
That sounds that way.
You know?
But my question is, are we still going to have 12 months in the next?
Well, according to that, for now, yes.
Fuse thrower, huh? A fuse thrower over there, that's what I mean.
Yeah, but you got to remember, this is written for man.
Yeah.
For man to understand.
Where are Revelations again?
Revelation 22, 1 and 2.
I had the 2, I missed the double.
Oh.
Oh, it was me, not you.
Yeah.
You're right, it's a little odd. It's on both sides of the river was the tree of life.
Yeah. But there aren't rivers and lakes and stuff. Are there in the new heavens or new earth?
Yeah. Are you sure of that?
Well, it don't sound like it here, but I mean.
Do you really think heaven could exist without a really great fishing place?
Without a river of life?
Well, I mean, you know, your definition of heaven, I don't think.
Yeah.
You can't be catching big crappie. I think it doesn't work.
I don't know. I'm just saying, but, you know, I never really thought about it.
And we're sitting here thinking a river as like what we call a river. We don't know what the river means up there. I don't. It could be, I don't know.
Well, it talks about the New Jerusalem, and then why are there Gentiles on the outside still? Have you read that part?
I get confused enough in Revelation.
Well, that's in Revelation.
Yeah, I know.
it's towards the end of the book. That's one that kind of puzzles me, but then again, I'm only me, not him.
It kind of suggests that there is a, more like a, rather than an individual plant, it's a concept or something, you know, a system. Or,
yeah.
Well, yeah, and it doesn't mean there's only one tree of life either. There could be more than, there could be the two, one on one side, one on the other.
Yeah, it does. A tree of life.
Or the, yeah, it does say.
It says singular, but maybe it doesn't
not
really.
The tree.
Yeah, the tree of life. That's was planted. But maybe, even though it says that, maybe it's something more like a grove or something. That's puzzling.
Yeah, well, here, this is, I didn't know this was right. I didn't look at it. I was reading at the end of 21. But I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. This is, the city had no need of the sun or the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light, and the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it. Its gates shall not be shut at all by day. There shall be no night, and they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. But there shall by no means enter anything that defiles or causes abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's kind of an interesting description, isn't it?
I don't know. All I know is it sounds good.
Yeah. Sounds good no matter what.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, verse 3 of 22, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. Now, I think I asked myself, whose face? But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face. I'm not exactly sure who that's talking about.
No, I'm not either. We have to realize that the Bible says we're going to be as the angels. But that doesn't mean we'll be angels.
No.
We're going to be as the angels. And you know what I think? For what that's worth, which is not much. I think that we're going to have we won't need vehicles. We won't need
no
wings. We just can be there.
Yeah. You'll be in spirit.
You know, you'll be there. You can go.
A spirit form, you know, which, like angels, can appear to have a form, but then again, they may not, you know.
Well, like when Jesus was raised from the dead, he just all of a sudden appeared.
Yeah.
Comes in a room where the door is closed. How'd you get there? And he just appeared.
We think of it as real fast travel, but it might not be. Different deal.
Yeah, right.
Different deal than travel. Yeah.
And you know, when he kind of mentioned that, remember when he said to Mary, don't hang on me or touch me, for I go to the Father and I have, because I have not been glorified, I think is how he said it that way. It's not the exact words, but...
Or transformed, was it? Glorified or transformed? Yeah. I don't remember.
Well,
glorified.
So that tells you that he knew that something different was going to happen to him, and it did. And it's hard to know exactly. You can't get a good definition of what glorified means.
And yet he let Thomas stick his finger in his hands.
Yeah, right.
If he wasn't glorified upon resurrection, do we shown a glorified Jesus?
Maybe
in Revelation.
Oh, that's right, because when he said that to Mary, he was already out of the grave.
But, you know, Jesus speaks about the Holy Spirit, he says, the Holy Spirit will not be given yet because I have not yet been glorified.
Oh, is that where it is?
Besides what you said, that's different.
Well, I might have said the other one.
No, wrong. You said it was right.
Yeah, are you sure it's right? Glorified there, or is it, I've not yet gone to my Father?
I may not be glorified, or, you know what, it may not be worth looking at. But
yeah.
What you said was right. But it says, the Holy Spirit has not been given yet because I have not yet been glorified. I believe. So when the day of Pentecost, maybe he was glorified. I don't know.
Well, maybe, you know, maybe so.
Well, I kind of felt like once he was resurrected, he already had qualities of
you would think, being born, but he told Mary, "Don't touch me."
Yeah, maybe I. But maybe I quoted that wrong.
No, you were right about that.
I don't have my phone, so I can't look at the scripture.
You want the Bible?
But I'm not just.
I know. I don't think I can find it.
I'm not so sure you're right, though. Because I'm thinking it's. I could be mistaken.
Yeah.
But I think it's because I have not yet ascended to my Father.
Maybe.
Is what he.
It could be.
Is it the Holy Spirit is not given because I'm not yet ascended to my Father?
That you know what that could be it.
And then, beloved, now are we the sons of God. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is.
Yeah.
And every man that has this hope purifies himself, even as he is pure.
Now it's interesting, in Matthew, it says, and as they went to tell his disciples, behold Jesus, because the angels told them first, Jesus met them saying, rejoice. So they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. And Jesus said to them, do not be afraid, go and tell my brethren, go to Galilee, and there they will see me. So that's just in Matthew. So I've got to read it at the end.
John 20:17. Says John 16, Jesus said unto her, Mary. She turned herself and said unto him, Rabbi Rabboni, which is the same answer. Jesus said unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascended to my Father and your Father and to my God and your God. So
we got to turn it on.
I thought.
And more to what Glenn's point was, Jesus reveals himself to Mary, I think it's the first, after the ascension, after the resurrection. And she's about to come and give him a hug, or show affection, and he says, no, for I've not yet gone up to God. But then, they're in the room, you know, Jesus zips right on through the locked door, and Thomas says,
he's got some different status.
and basically challenges Thomas, who's got done spouting off, saying, I won't believe anything you say that you saw until I can put my hands in the wounds. And Jesus says, go ahead. Now, a lot has happened, apparently. As to your point, like, he apparently has gone up and has come back down. But and that's always... it was always kind of this thing in my mind, like, well, you know, first he tells Mary, and that is Mary his mother?
No, that's Mary
Magdalene. Okay. And says, no, you can't touch me. And then later he's telling Thomas, you know, put your hands in the womb, so.
But you're right. It may have been some kind of affectionate embrace or whatever that he figured Mary Magdalene was to
about to do.
No, it's not.
He said, touch me not, for I'm not yet ascended to my Father.
Yeah.
The thing that, in this whole thing you're talking about, that really has had my mind spinning, is when Jesus arrives in the room, the doors aren't open, nobody, he's there. Mm-hmm. Okay? And so then, they said, well, it's a spirit. And then he makes a strange statement. And he says, does a spirit have flesh and bones?
Yeah, we took it out.
As you see me have. And it's like, how did the bones get through the walls?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Well, didn't he offer him something to eat, too? Didn't he eat?
It's like,
you know, I mean,
he offers a moment, but you know, something that helps me a lot to understand is when I'm wondering how things, I eliminate the word how. If you take the word how of the things of God, just take it. How? I don't care.
It's how did he create the heaven?
Right, how? I don't know. What's the matter? How is not a good thing when it comes to.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. For one thing, we're half asking him to explain himself,
right,
which
right.
he shouldn't have to do.
Yeah. Right. To kind of dig on this a little more, it, you know, after Jesus tells Mary, touch me not, because the situation with Thomas is just 10 verses later. And in between it says, then the same day at the evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for the fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in their midst. So he went from don't touch me to several hours later saying, Thomas,
instructing him to touch him. Huh?
So a lot happened in that brief period of time.
At least from his father. Huh?
At least, well, you know, when you're in that realm, I think you can travel pretty quick. You know.
Okay, but what if he would have touched him? I mean,
we don't exactly know what touch
meant
in that context.
Yeah. Why did he say don't touch me? Does he say what Mary wanted to do? Like hug him? Or?
I think he was trying to tell her that don't look at me as the man, as a man in the sense that, you know, like we worship a man because we think he's done such great things. I mean, I realize we make his humanity a big thing, but at the same time, I don't think he wanted to. I kind of, well, at one time, that's the way I looked at it. Is he didn't want her worshiping him as a person, other than, you know, the fact, well, that wouldn't make sense either, because he was the Son of God, and he's a special person. And I don't know.
There was. He had this special status upon after he was resurrected, but before he went up to heaven, you know, and it was.
Yeah, it's weird. He says, "Do not blame
me." It was something that Mary should not be touching him.
It says in mine, it says, "Do not cling to me."
It
from a different translation, touch.
Yeah. No,
touch
or cling. Touch. Is that it?
Yeah.
Well, if. It may be the better word is like cling or embrace or whatever.
Yeah, I'm thinking like a hug or something.
Right. What's the definition of cling?
Huh?
Cling.
Hang on. Don't
cling,
let go.
Cling is, cling is more like...
No, the definition of cling.
Oh, it's more the definition is?
Yeah.
In English, cling would mean that you would grab on. Like your children would cling on to your legs while you're walking around.
Okay.
They would grab on and hold on tight.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's like don't cling to my flesh,
mm-hmm.
you know, or something. I don't know.
Well, I'm gonna.
I suppose there would be something a little funny, or whatever, about in that stage her, whole, you know, and
well, glad to see him alive. We're glad to see him.
Yeah, just you know.
Well, yeah, I could see you wanting to cling to him.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
right.
You thought he was gone and lost. In a sense,
right?
He didn't have the full revelation yet,
and he's telling her not to.
Yeah, I mean, well, she was weeping because he was dead.
Yeah,
right. Just above that,
right.
You know. And they say unto her, "Woman, why weepest thou?"
Right.
And she saith unto them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they had laid him." So I mean, she was being sorrowful because she missed him. You know.
Right.
But I was gonna, because
but she didn't recognize him.
Not right away.
Right.
You know?
Not until he says, well,
right.
Until he says Mary, and then she says, Rabboni.
Maybe she recognizes
the voice. She says, sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you've laid him, and I will take him away.
So I just went to the Bible and looked at all the different
maybe Jesus wanted her to realize that she didn't have to be taking his dead body anywhere because it was risen.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know.
The NIV says, do not hold on to me. Then the New Living Translation, the English Standard, the Berean Study Bible all say, do not cling to me. The Berean Literal Bible says, do not touch me. The New American Standard Bible says, stop clinging to me. King James, do not touch me not. Don't cling to me. Do not hold on to me. Do not hold on to me. Do not cling to me. Do not hold on to me.
Oh, my, what is,
yeah. But the one where you said, stop clinging to me, indicates to me that she already did.
She already had.
Yeah.
And that one that you said, stop clinging to me.
that was the New American Bible.
But that makes some sense, because he does have to ascend to the Father if she wants to have him stay.
Yeah, like, don't try to keep me here on earth.
Yeah.
In the natural.
Now that's starting to make sense.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because that's not what you really want. You need me to ascend.
That's right.
Right.
I know.
Because then I'm going to send a greater thing mm-hmm. for you.
Yeah. Maybe that is.
Yeah. Don't try to keep me here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now it's making sense.
Yeah. Well,
it's funny how these things get sorted out here.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that.
I do too.
Yeah. I like that because I thought I had a thought, and then after I kept reading, I thought, well, I don't know why did I have that thought? Yeah. You know.
Well, it's a good thing Corky's got that got access there to all these translations because they help too.
Opened up the door to this thing.
Yeah, right.
You know.
Huh?
The one that he said where
the New American Standard Bible, stopped clinging to me for I have not yet ascended.
Yeah.
Which implies that
they
had been physical contact.
Yeah. And that's what opened up the whole revelation.
And that is so funny, because that would just be the way we think about things in natural terms. Like, why would he say, don't touch me? And then he says, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
And the whole context about Thomas touching him was, you know, as
it's to prove that it was him and he was risen.
Well, yeah. You know, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed, blessed are they that I mean, and to me, that's one of my, like, cornerstone scriptures, like,
for us.
Yeah. So how are you going to walk if you don't get to see?
You're going to have to see. How much more is your faith?
Yes.
Huh?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think the word touch has changed meanings in the last 400 years.
Yeah.
You know, we see it as, for them.
Well,
for
I'm going to have to start paying minutes. More attention to that New American Standard. That might be a better translation. But, it's just kind of nice to see. But it was let's cling or touch, but then, you know, don't cling or stop clinging. And stop clinging, you know, implies.
I can see where it opens up to a whole new outlook on it, too.
And I don't know if we have the final revelation, but I think we know more about it.
It came in tonight. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Good discussion, Pablo.
Yeah.
I have no way of knowing for sure, but I believe that in all the translations that God has made sure that the vital issues are the same in every translation. The vital issues, like John 17:3. I don't know that it reads any different in any of them, you know. This is eternal life. That they would know you, the only true God. The only true God. I think it says that in every single one of them. The only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. John 1:18, they take a liberty and they change it. It says, no man has seen God at any time, but the only begotten Son. And then in some of the more modern translations, or the modern, it says, who himself is God. You know.
Yeah, now let's, you know, there's a major thing there at the end of what he tells her.
Oh, you're talking about Mary?
Yeah. I am ascending to my Father, your Father, and to my God.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And your God.
I'm
and
sorry.
There's no little thing, go down here and read, because it might read something different. That's all. It just
it's
says
it. It's the same in all translations.
Yeah, and how do you get around that? Mm-hmm. You know?
Jesus himself is saying,
tell them.
Your God and my God is the same God.
Right.
Yeah. And he doesn't say, my God, me.
Yeah, I mean, and go to my brethren and say to them.
We were talking
to my father and
a while ago,
father,
Pablo, about the fact that that Jesus is called that he is
not inherits. What do we say? What's the word?
Heir.
The heir. You know that he is the heir. You know when he says, "All things that the Father have are mine."
Mm-hmm.
And I got realized, you know, thinking about that today, and I thought, well, of course, God has given him everything. Mm-hmm. But if he is an heir of the things of God, so that all things that God have are his, and we are joint heir together with him, does that put us in the lineage as well?
Yeah. I said, I don't know what Jesus is, but whatever he is, we're the same thing.
We're going to be the same.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And another thing that hit me the other day was...
Good dodge. I don't know what he is, but we're the same.
Yeah. In 2 Peter 1:4, where it says, by these exceeding great and precious promises, we become partakers of God's divine nature. To become a partaker of God's divine nature is not an option. It's not an option. God set it up that way. That's what we are to become. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You can't have half the nature and half something else. You have his nature.
Yeah.
And the only way you get it is by these exceeding great and precious promises. That's why the value of God's word is becoming more and more in me. It's like, no wonder God set this up.
Yeah.
No wonder it's so hard for people to
read scripture to emphasize.
Huh?
I want to read the scripture where it speaks of it, that we are heirs. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, yeah. If indeed... we suffer with him that we may, there's a condition, that we may also be glorified together.
Mm.
Yeah, I kind of missed that little part, if we suffer with him.
But that is interesting. They're talking about Jesus once he's glorified. Well, maybe he is then God then. What's the part? Well, again,
yeah.
We're to be glorified with him.
Yeah.
So whatever...
Yeah.
You know.
So he ends up being God, so do we.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Right. Right.
Yeah.
You know, there in Ephesians 3, it was a scripture that Ken pointed out a while back. Paul's prayer is that they will be filled with the fullness of God.
Yeah.
Well, that's a lot of God.
Yeah.
Filled with the fullness. Be filled with the fullness of God.
That is a good prayer.
Yes, that's right.
You certainly want that.
Yeah, and you know what? You can actually, you know, to the fullness of what you could handle, whatever. Mm-hmm. But I know I ain't filled yet with that fullness. I expect it. Because it says it.
Yeah, right. It does say it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It is not like an oddball scripture. It's consistent.
And you know, you can't keep, like, using, well, yeah, but we're so... Yeah, it doesn't matter. Eventually, it says you can have that. Mm-hmm. And don't think don't go, yeah, but I'm such, well, it's not up to you. You know? No, he don't want you to have that in your flesh and your workmanship, yeah. Or whatever you can
do. It will have to be different.
He's going to do the work in you that's going to make you have the fullness of God. You know?
That's right.
It's not our righteousness. It's his
right.
You know?
Yeah, thankfully.
Yes.
You know.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, because it ain't going to happen because of what we've done.
No.
No.
Or any great other one that thinks he's...
Yeah.
You know, I find it... I always think about where it says, and many will come in my name, and he says, and then it says later, and many Christs is basically what he's saying, or they will say, I am he. Well, who? Well, I am the... You could say... I'm thinking of leaders that might, you know, lead a lot. I am the anointed one. You should listen to me now.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the false antichrist.
Yeah.
You know, I mean...
Yeah.
You know, I don't think they'll say I am the Christ, but I'm thinking by, you know, by using Christ, which means anointed one, you know, he's saying, yeah, a lot of them are going to come and say they are he, you know, or me.
But, you know. I mean, all they would have to say is, listen to me and I'll keep you fed. And that's basically saying I'm Jesus.
Well, and you know what? The reason I think of that now is how look at how the church developed the pastorship. Yes, he's the anointed one. He will bring us the words of the truth of God because he's anointed. It has to come through him. Mm-hmm. Well, the church is the one that set that, you know, helped set that up. Which is false, you know. It's a false foundation, false whatever.
Yeah.
You know, I, you know, in the beginning,